Fellow advisors, our most in-demand event is back. How to Charge Live is happening October 20th and 21st right here in my office in Franklin, Tennessee. Seats are limited and will sell out fast. We're now taking deposits to reserve your spot. Visit howtochargelive.com to reserve your seat today. My goal with this event is for you to leave changed, to see your business different forever. One advisor came to this event and signed a $2,000 a month planning client within a week. Another landed two new clients and doubled their financial planning revenue in just 30 days. I hope you can make this event. I will be there with you live for the full 2 days. Visit howtochargelive.com to reserve your seat today. I'll see you there. Hello, fellow advisors. Sten Morgan here. Today, I want to unpack a framework that my team and I have built. And this comes from years of building my practice, hanging out with top advisors from around the country, and also coaching thousands of advisors across the country. At times, I get frustrated thinking that we're all trying to solve the same problems in a different way or on our own. So today in this episode, we are going to unpack the RESIST framework that I believe are all of the areas of resistance that an advisor can face at any given time. And our goal as business owners should be to focus on one at all cost. And once we accomplish and achieve what we want to in that point of resistance, we can move on to the next one. Unfortunately, I see too many advisors trying to work on multiple things at once. And I was guilty of this for a long time. So let's jump into the RESIST framework. And my hope is that you see yourself in one of these points of resistance. And then I will do future episodes on each individual point of resistance to help you come up with a game plan. I'll share stories of my practice so that you can say, what is the biggest thing I can focus on in my business to have the best results? And you can put all your time, energy, and money behind that thing as soon as possible. Let's jump in. Fellow advisors, welcome to this episode of the podcast. Today, we're going to unpack the RESIST framework. What I've learned from hanging out with advisors from around the country, coaching thousands of advisors, and also growing my practice, is that there's similar themes or points of resistance that we all run into. At times, what slows our growth is that we try to balance too many things at once. Where I've learned that if I can find the main point of resistance, the thing that if I focus all my time, energy, and money on, it'll give me the best result in the near term, I will move the boulder quicker and faster up the hill. So what we're going to do is we're going to unpack this framework today. And I want to tell you stories of my practice, but also really practical steps that as I talk through each point of resistance in this framework, you can try to see yourself. And as I unpack each one, you may say to yourself, well, I need help on that. I want to get better at that. And that might be true, but the main thing is, what is the biggest area of resistance holding you back? So let's jump in together. All right, so we're going to unpack the RESIST framework today. So at a high level, I'm going to run through this with you, and then we're going to unpack each one together. So we spent a bunch of time and hours as a team trying to come up with, like, what is the perfect acronym to embody our framework? And it's really cool when it actually works out. So what I've learned as a business owner and an advisor is that there are points of resistance in my practice. And I've been able to kind of boil those down to these six categories. So the first one is revenue or prospecting. We all want new business. You know, winning solves a lot of problems if you're getting new clients. But that might work for a while until your system breaks down or one of these other points of resistance becomes the main one you should focus on. So number one, we'll talk about revenue and prospecting. Number two is execution, or also what we call leadership. There's a chance everything in your business is doing pretty well, but maybe as a leader, you're lacking. You're the bottleneck. You're not delegating well. You have high turnover on your team. The next one would be systems. Do you have a good onboarding process? Can you bring clients on smoothly, deliver a clear, scalable process to them? Do you use good technology? So systems is a great one to unpack. Ideas. I talk to advisors at time that are, they lack confidence. You may think, oh, I really love to work with business owners. I just don't think I'm qualified to work in that marketplace. Or I have advisors that say, I don't know what ideas I should use to go get new clients and new business. So think, when you hear ideas, think of like knowledge, expertise. Or is it speaking? Is it your ability to communicate? This is something I've prioritized over the last handful of years because I realized I had some knowledge. I was getting in front of people, but they weren't excited to say yes. They were saying, oh, that sounds good. Some said yes, some waited, they kicked it down the road. And I realized that my ability to communicate, my ability to inspire them and create urgency was one of the main things holding them back from taking action right away. And finally, is it your thinking or your mindset? I'd say everything we have kind of has an undertone of mindset. You know, are you growth-minded or do you have more limiting beliefs? What head trash are you dealing with? But I've also met advisors where this is their main thing they should focus on. That no matter what they do, your mindset is a filter that affects everything around you. And if this isn't healthy or in a good place, it's affecting everything else in a negative way. So those are the categories. Resist, R-E-S-I-S-T. Revenue, execution, systems, ideas, speaking, and thinking. So at a high level today, and I'll do future episodes where I unpack each one of these categories in more depth, I want to walk through at a higher level each category with you. So let's start with revenue or prospecting. I think it helps to define what's like the average. What are most advisors doing? Average for our business, as most of us have heard, is the 80% attrition rate. You know, most 8 out of 9 to 10 advisors don't last past 5 years, which is brutal. I thought to myself, and I'll talk to other advisors, like, what business has such terrible retention and success metrics, yet continues to just operate in that theme? I do think it's an accepted problem. I think as a young advisor, I was frustrated on how we were solving it. That when I got in the business, it was truly call as many people as you can. Write down 100, 200 names of people you know, not that you're qualified to serve, but you know, and you're going to go lean into them and you're going to play the relationship card really heavy to try to get enough business so that you can survive in the business long enough so then you can eventually become a knowledgeable expert and potentially hopefully not have a lot of regrets about, oh, if I would have only known, I would have done it different with Aunt Susie or my grandma. And then eventually you might be successful enough to pay your bills and not have to stress out every day. I still see a lot of that in our business. Recruit people, you know, it's like, hey, this could be the best business, you know, if you survive. There's got to be a better way. But one thing we can't deny is that you need revenue. Like, prospecting will never go away in our business. There's different ways to prospect. And I would say the average way to prospect is I'm just going to go out there and hopefully bump into enough people and say somewhat of a same thing as every other advisor. And my hope is they either like me more than somebody else, or I just happen to catch them at the right moment where they're just going to do business with me anyways. And it is true at times that if you do that enough, if you're knocking on doors, you know, if you're sending out a bunch of mailers, if you work, you know, 80-hour weeks, there's probably a chance that eventually works. For me, in life in general, if there's a better way, a way that doesn't cause me to sacrifice all my personal family time, it caused me to be miserable, I don't get to exercise, I'm just working every moment of every day, I am open-minded to that route. I don't want the easy path. And so as you listen to this, nothing I'm going to say today is, hey, this will get you rich quick, or you'll be a successful advisor someday and run a successful practice, and here's the easy button. This is all challenging. But I feel like if somebody gave me a map and I was starting to climb up a mountain, you know, they can't make the mountain less steep. There's going to be challenges. I can still get injured. But if they're like, hey, when you get to this point, go right. Or hey, when you get to this fork in the road, you can go left or right. Right's going to get you there faster. It's just more challenging. Or you can take the long way and go left. Some level of guidance and a map, I think, is vital for our business. So as we think about revenue, I think we really have to be sensitive to, like, what's average? Therefore, I'm going to get average results. And then what's elite? And so I wrote a book called Value First Prospecting, which is me reflecting on my 14 years in the business and probably not succeeding if I would have just stayed in the average path. I would probably lost steam and said, there's something better for me. I would have still been a business owner. I just may not have been a financial advisor if I would have stayed in that rut. So I had to break out. I had to say, I don't know if I'm really in the business of selling product. Maybe I'm in the business of inspiring people to take action on their finances. Oh, and by the way, I can manage money. I can help you with insurance. You can pay me for financial plans, but my identity is not the product. So as soon as I believed that, I had to say, well, how do I communicate that? Well, what if I created trust with people by giving them ideas first? Versus, you know, if you would have met with me when I was 3 to 4 years in the business, I would have told you about my firm, how long they've been around, some of my qualifications. Here's a generic illustration of some investments. It wasn't inspiring. It was pretty average at best. So I had to reinvent, you know, what is my approach? What is my voice in the business? And I also had to take myself seriously as an advisor, where the industry at times might tell you, if you're playing baseball and you get a hit one out of every 10 at bats, you have a 100 batting average, you're not making it to the Hall of Fame. If you have a 300 batting average, it's like, okay, that's pretty good. That might be Hall of Fame worthy. As an advisor, like, people would take 3 out of 10. Like, I talk to 10 people, I get 3 closes, that's fine. But instead of focusing more on quantity, meaning if you want more clients, accept a bad batting average, but just do more at-bats, I realized as a young advisor, I don't have infinite at-bats. Like, if I get in front of this great prospect, I need to have a really high closing percentage. So what if instead I focus less on getting more and more average at-bats, instead saying, I want to get higher quality at-bats with a really high close ratio? What if someday I got in front of ideal business clients that I knew I had the ideas that they needed and I closed 8 out of 10? If you would have told me that, I wouldn't have known how to do it yet, but I was open-minded to it. So I'd go down that journey of how do I figure that part out. The good news is that is possible. You bring the right solution to the right client at the right time and you present it the right way, you can have an 80% close rate. And so with a framework we've built called Value First Prospecting, I talk a lot about targeting strategies. And I'll unpack this deeper in the revenue episode. But in that book, I get really practical on, here's a system you can use to prospect and attract people differently. And the good news is, if you do it this way, you have a different reputation, which is easily referable because people aren't worried about you selling them stuff. You just are a curator of great ideas. I want to unpack, too, the idea of prospecting and revenue needs to be system-based. It has to be scalable. I think an early practice is where an advisor, it's all relationship-based. You know, that legacy was, if Sten went and got a new client, then that's the only way we got new business. Well, what if Sten didn't show up to work the next day? Would the firm fail? And I think a lot of advisors are in that place. So for you as a business owner, can you start working on something and building a system, like a funnel, where you're adding value, you're sharing content, and people are actually coming to you? And then you have a great system to nurture those leads. So if the dream is that at all time, we as advisors have people sitting there waiting for us to call them, and they've already had value added from us, so we've already created some trust, that to me is a much more desirable outcome than if I'm in this business for 30 years, I'm naturally going to get some extra referrals as my book grows, but I'm still going to have to grind it every single day. So as you listen to this, if that's what you feel like the path is ahead, it doesn't have to be. You could choose that and you might make enough money to be comfortable, but it doesn't have to be that way. I started getting the best results when I started focusing more. Instead of trying to solve multiple problems at once, I started focusing my time, energy, and money on solving my biggest area of resistance first, so that I can move on to the next one. Are you aware of the biggest area of resistance in your practice? I built an assessment to help you identify that area so that you can focus all of your time, energy, and money on solving it as quickly as possible. Visit gobeelite.com to take the assessment now. All right, move on to the next one is execution, leadership. Earlier in my career, when it was just me as a solo advisor, I had one admin, one pair planner. I think I got away with being an average leader. I had team meetings on Mondays. I'd kind of tell people what to do, but I wasn't really running an efficient business. I hadn't developed the skills yet to hire really well. You know, I've hired a lot of people that are good people that I like, but I didn't know, were they tenacious? Were they coachable? Did they want to grow, or were they going to just stall out in their role? Maybe every role on your team doesn't need to be an A player. Maybe you need some people that just love to show up to work at 8 o'clock and clock out at 5, and they have, they're not negatively impacting culture and they're thankful for their job and they love on your clients. That's okay too. And so in the last 3 or 4 years, I've had to do a lot of work on leadership and execution of a plan. And a lot of that has to do around the people I bring on. And when I bring them on, how do I keep them accountable? How do I keep them encouraged? Do they have a growth path? So I find the execution and leadership is that once you've been in the business for a handful of years and you're thinking of growing your practice, which requires more team members, you need to start prioritizing this. And for me, as of a couple of years ago, we had a healthy practice. We had good referrals coming in. Revenue was not my issue. It was more, do I have the people around me so that I can live in my superpower? that Sten could just meet with clients and do prospecting and not have to deal with everything else. So as you think about being a business owner that someday wants to have balance, imagine a world where you work 3 days a week and you just meet with clients and your business is healthy and thriving. That's going to require other people, other talented people to join you to grow the business. Well, do you know how to attract those people? Do you know what that job description looks like? Where do you even find them? So I think this part of resistance will come and be more obvious as you have some success as an advisor. Next category is systems. This is not my superpower. I do not get out of bed excited about systems and workflows. It is so important, though, from a client experience and a team experience. Do you have good systems in place? Can your system handle if your practice doubles? Is your current system kind of duct taped together, meaning you're doing the same stuff you did when you had, you know, 10 million under management, and then as you got to 50, you just kind of added a couple things on, and then as you got to 75, you added some things on. You know, you wake up at 100 million of assets, you know, 200 households, you're like, this does not seem to work. Like it, there's a lot of points of friction and we're not getting great feedback on our process. It's not terrible. People aren't leaving, but I think it could be a lot better. And a great client onboarding experience that's scalable, somewhat automated. For us at Legacy, if we're saying, hey, over the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to double in size, I need a system that doesn't frustrate my team, that can handle that level of growth. So systems are really important. This is technology, what workflows, what systems are you using to deliver performance reporting. Do you use Surge as an advisor to meet with all your clients 2 times a year like we do? So systems is really important, not the most exciting, sexy category, but you are a business owner, so it's very important. Next category. I love this category, ideas. I mean, ideas are your product, in my opinion. You are a professional, so you need to know your stuff. This doesn't mean you are an expert in every field. When we unpack this category, I'm going to talk a lot about idea partners. That what if you had a bench behind you that behind the curtain was a real estate expert, a great CPA partners, attorneys, estate planning attorneys, business attorneys, tax attorneys. And at any point in time when somebody paid you, whether it was a financial planning fee or they were just an AUM client, but they were expecting financial planning advice from you, do you have a well to go to get new ideas, to stay up to date on things that are ever changing? Or are you the advisor that's just hoping your client doesn't realize they're missing out? And all it takes is for them to meet with an advisor that's proactive, you might lose that business. So ideas, knowledge, really important. Speaking, this one for me has become a priority in the last handful of years. As I look back, I don't think I was turning away business with my average level of communication skills. But as soon as I leveled this up, and we talk a lot about this in our live events when we talk about whiteboarding, quantifying, are you bringing an energy to a meeting where a client's getting an experience? Where they halfway through the meeting, they're like, this is the best meeting I've ever had. You've exceeded every expectation. I thought I was going to sit here and you're going to pass papers to me, but you're communicating in a way that you're inspiring me to take action. You're showing me the urgency of like, wow, if I kick this can down the road a few more years, this is a $1 million problem later. It seems small now, but it could be really big. Okay, now you have my attention. So speaking of communication, we spend a lot of time on that in the community. I believe every advisor should have a superpower around communication skills. Okay, and the last one is thinking and mindset. Every person I meet has gone through something that's created the way they see the world, the way they see themselves. It is your story. The most successful people I know have a really high level of awareness of themselves, of clients. And it doesn't mean they're pretending to be something they're not in front of people, but they've come to terms with, man, you know, I'm an introvert. I'm not the best communicator, but I'm going to do the best I can with it. For some reason, I'm not a natural leader, but I want to become really great at that. I have a lot of head trash around, man, I just don't think I'm qualified to work with high net worth business owners because I didn't come from money. I think an awareness around the way you see the world, the way you see yourself as a business owner is really important. And the hope is to root out and throw out as much head trash as possible. Because what's amazing is when you figure that part of yourself out, when you sit in a room with somebody, there's this calm confidence about you. Where I look back as a young advisor, I was like this anxious energy. You know, I want to close the deal. I want to help people and it was great. I think people felt that and took my lead. Or now, if you were to sit in a room with me, it's like, I'm here to help. I don't have every answer right away, but I know I have access to the people that do have the answers, and we're really good at our job. Let's get started. And so I think over time, your mindset, you have to be really aware of how is it affecting every part of my business. Do I accept feedback really well from my team, or am I more defensive? So as we think through these six areas of resistance, I'll do some episodes coming up soon where we sit in each one of them. But my hope as you listen to each one of these is that, and we have an assessment, you can go to gobeelite.com, take that assessment to find out what is your main area of resistance. And we're going to keep kicking out content to focus on each one of these six categories so that you can stay more focused and not get distracted. A lot of business owners, a lot of advisors are getting distracted by things. I know I've done that in the past. And I'm trying to juggle multiple balls at once. And I might slightly improve them all at one time. But instead, what if we said at all costs, your main goal is you need to level your systems up. And you do a 3-month sprint, not to make it a perfect 10, because that might take too much time, but you take it from maybe a 4 to an 8. And you're like, this is great. It's good enough. And then we move on to the next one. And we say at all costs for the next 3 months, we're going to build a sales funnel so that you have a lot of prospects, so revenue is not a problem for you. And we put all your time and energy into it. That is the difference between getting a great outcome and just getting a good outcome. So stay tuned for more episodes, and we'll unpack each area of the Resist framework.